Right now it is time for Praise This with Tim Luke and Greg Straum. Of course, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com. And I have Greg on the line. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. And you won't have Tim on the line. He was stuck in that Atlanta debacle. And he got home. I picked him up yesterday, and he has a bad case of the flu.
Well, I suspected something was awry when his line didn't pick up. Well, I'm glad that he just got stuck and he didn't really get hunkered down in Atlanta for a couple of days.
Well, he was there overnight. What happened was he was one of the fortunate. He was one of the last flights that was able to land before the outage, because a friend of ours was in the air when the outage happened, and when they landed, she had to sit on the tarmac for 7 hours. But Tim was fortunate enough to be in one of the last planes that landed before the outage, so they had electricity to disembark people. So people were walking around in the like zombies, apparently, in the airport. There were no lights, no electricity. Of course, everybody was on their cell phones, so cell phones were overloaded. Couldn't keep a connection, and he wasn't feeling well. So I tried to call the Hilton at the airport, and this time of the year, there was no room in the inn. So I had to call another. They were good enough to call the DoubleTree, which is also a Hilton property, and booked him a room. So he was there overnight, got up the next morning. Of course, all of his luggage, they couldn't unload anything because there was no electricity. So he had no clue where his luggage was. So he had nothing with him. In this day and age, not to have your cell phone charger, that's major. But it seems odd that there was not the redundancy. There should have been some sort of redundancy. The first question I had for my friend, Sarah, who was stuck on the tarmac, why didn't they just go to the old-fashioned way of just unloading with the staircases?
Can't.
Have one, you know, I just don't understand that. I mean, in this day and age when they can send photographs back from Mars, they can't unload a plane with a staircase. You know, it seems like it took an awfully long time for them to come to that decision that they finally, well, you know, we got to get all these people off the airplane after 7 hours. So, but she also was able to eventually get off and found a hotel, and she was fortunate enough to get out yesterday morning, unlike some, and so was Tim, but a number of other people are still there waiting to get out tomorrow. So some of them even as late as Thursday. So it was a major thing.
Here's what the
I'm just glad to have him home, even though he does have the flu. I'm taking good care of him, so I'll make sure that he's ready for next week.
You know what the problem is with the staircases are, as the planes, most of the planes nowadays are designed for those type of ramps that come out and meet the stairways. And meet the hatches in the planes. So they do have the push out stairs, but they don't have as many. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's the busiest airport in the country.
They said that it's actually one of the busiest airports in the world.
Yeah, and there's just not enough push out stairs left for them to handle all the traffic that was there. That's probably why it took so long for people to get off the planes.
Oh, I don't know what I would do if I had to sit on an airplane for 7 hours.
I remember when I was a kid, we used to fly out to see my father in Las Vegas on these TriStar with the three tail wings in the back. And once there was a 5-hour delay, and my mother proceeded to get really drunk. My father, well, he always drank, And we just ran up and down the plane and annoyed everybody for 5 hours.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been I try not to say that I'm claustrophobic, but I think if I had to sit sealed into a plane, not knowing that I could get off of it right away, you know, like in just an hour or so, I don't know what I would do just to sit there for 7 hours and just, oh my God, it would drive me up the wall. So I was just very lucky that Tim was able to get off the airplane, especially since he wasn't feeling well, and be able to get a nice cozy room and take a hot shower and jump into bed and try to recoup a little bit for the next day. But I gotta say, he is definitely a road warrior. I am not. I would not have traveled as well. So kudos to Tim for having that kind of a constitution, because I don't travel well. So I'm just glad that he's home and he's in bed, snuggled in, hot cup of tea, trying to recover. So he'll be back next week, and we'll both be here next week, actually, the day after Christmas. But not today, but 2 days ago was a very auspicious occasion. In history, do you remember what happened 244 years ago on December 16th? I only bring it up because of what's, not that we were a political show or anything, but I only bring it up because of what's happening right now with this big tax thing in Washington.
The Boston Tea Party?
The Boston Tea Party. You got it.
Thanks for the hint.
They actually recreated, every year they recreate the Boston Tea Party, reenact it. And the original tea company, the India Tea Company, actually sent 200 pounds of tea to them, to the reenactors, so that they could actually throw it into the river there. So as a historian or somebody who likes history a lot and their and reenactments and all of that, I just thought it was just worth bringing up, considering the irony of what's happening right now. But that's the only reason, no political comments, but that was the only reason I thought it was a interesting historic fact. So the other thing that happened this week, there was of course, we know that Star Wars opened.
Yep.
And apparently, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to have to go see it. And I don't know if it'll be, maybe we'll go between Christmas and New Year's, because right now it's just whacked. I mean, you can't even get in. But talk about timing. There's a gentleman who has one of the largest collection of Star Wars, original Star Wars memorabilia, and he decided to put it up for auction. And the auction was also on the 16th. And the interesting thing about it, though, is instead of selling it through a regular place that's an auction company that deals with collectibles and memorabilia, he chose to sell it at an auction company in Vancouver called Able Auctions. And they sell automobile parts and industrial auctions, which I find to be an interesting choice, considering the amount of money that this is going to bring, that he would not have chosen a venue that would have been more suitable and more well known. So it'll be interesting to see when they post the results of this. But he chose to do it at a time, and we've talked about this on the show in the past, he chose to do it at a time when it was right, and that was the opening, around the opening weekend of the Star Wars movie, or any other, you know, if you're selling memorabilia for Hollywood memorabilia, this is the time to do it is when a movie opens, a new movie or a sequel opens, and you usually get a really nice bump. But I think the bump could have been a little bit better had the consignor decided to choose a venue in which it would have been a little more publicized, because I just happened to find it because of Google alerts, and otherwise I never would have found it. And usually when these things come up, all of the major news outlets usually try to hype it, and there wasn't anything on Reuters, there wasn't anything on the AP about this auction, so I'm not quite exactly sure how it's going to all pan out for this collection, but it's one of the largest collections around, and I just hope that it went well.
All right. Well, anything else on the agenda? Because you don't have Tim and I don't have Jill.
Well,
we're stripped naked here.
You don't have Jill. Okay, this is on her permanent record again. You know what? Her permanent record's getting pretty long.
Well, she's just, you know, it's tough. She's got animals. She's got people that got to come and reap. So we give her a break on that. Also, she's the boss.
Well, that's true. That's true.
The boss
so,
gets the
yeah,
break.
She gets a pass. She'll get a pass. Yeah, she gets a pass. But there is one other thing. The autographed Babe Ruth MVP letter, which was kept in a closet for 50 years, broke yet another Babe Ruth record. It was from 1922 to 31. He only won the MVP player. This letter is one of the very rare letters that was ever written by Babe Ruth. He wasn't known for his communications or his correspondence, but it sold for a whopping $88,780 at the Mile High Card Company auction, and it was sealed away for 50 years, and so it's in pristine condition, and the last time a Babe Ruth letter sold, it was sold in 2015 by Heritage, and it sold for $71,700. So it broke the previous record for a Babe Ruth handwritten letter. So that was an interesting thing, and it continues to be, Babe Ruth continues to astound the collectibles market, because his things, no matter what they are, they seem to break records. And this, in particular, because of its rarity, something that's a very historic and very monumental piece of baseball memorabilia. So kudos to the person who paid the $88,780 for it, and who knows where it's going to, if it comes up again in another 50 years, what it might sell for. So there's a picture of it. The letter was written to the sports writer they were, when they vote the most valuable player. So Babe Ruth just sent a thank you letter to him, and it's dated September 26, 1923. And he thanks him for his support, and it's really an amazing piece of baseball memorabilia. So those are the two big highlights what's happening in the auction world this week. It's going to be a little slow between now and the end of and the beginning of the year because of the holiday. So, and Tim is home now through the holiday, and probably we don't have any travel coming up for the next several weeks. So we will be, as they say, in situ here in Florida, which is about 75 degrees right now, and The sun is just starting to come up down here, so it's very nice. So I want to just wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you all next Tuesday.
All right, Merry Christmas to you, and of course, and Tim, and all your neighbors and friends down there. And happy Christmas, happy holidays, Kwanzaa, and all the other things. And just have Tim strong for next Tuesday, and I'll have Jill here next Tuesday.
I have to get him back on his feet because he has to be, yes, he's going to be the wine expert for our Christmas wine dinner. So he has to be in top form for that.
All right. Hey, Merry Christmas, Greg.
Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. Greg Schramm in for Tim Luke today with the praise this at tqag.com on the web.